Coach Jim McElwain. Welcome back to T-Town. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Ryan, we're doing great. How you doing there?
Absolutely. Oh, we're good. We're good.
Give,
I mean,
give me the humidity count right now.
Oh,
how we doing?
115% probably.
I love it. I got to tell you what, I actually miss it, believe it or not.
So. Well, Coach, no doubt when we bring up your name, you're very popular here in Tuscaloosa. The folks still really, really love you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. That's sure nice to hear, because I know that's a special place to not only myself but my family, and our times there were unbelievable.
Coach, do you remember getting the call when Coach Saban asked you to consider coming to Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think I hung up on him because I thought it was one of my buddies messing with me. And so I'm glad he called back. But that was one of those obviously life-changing moments, and then to have the opportunity to learn under one of the best, you know, it's invaluable.
Coach, I want to talk about your year at Colorado State. You went to a bowl game. You won the bowl game. You beat Washington State. You hung right in with Alabama going into the fourth quarter. It was a much closer game. I know Alabama scored a couple of two late touchdowns. But what type of momentum did that give you to carry throughout the season?
Well, I'll tell you what, that game was really good for not only our players but for our whole organization. And what I meant by that is you know, the people that were able to go on that trip and really see the Mecca and see what it is to really, you know, not accept anything but excellence in everything you do. It was a great experience for everybody in our organization. And for our kids, they actually came away. We made a little run after that and I think went on to win six ball games from that point on. And it really showed for them, you know what, we can. And it was really an important moment for our program.
Coach, it looks like, and this is just me, and I know you know this from being in the coaching, but when you win, that's contagious. And I expect you to carry that momentum into 2014. Break down your team this upcoming year.
Well, we've got a lot of holes to fill. We lost pretty good players. We had, two players drafted, one in the second round, one in the third round, and then had five others as undrafted free agents. And, you know, when you lose that kind of quality, obviously, it's hard, you know, to fill those holes. And yet, like I tell our guys, it isn't about filling those holes. It's about all the people around them getting better. And we've got some good young talent. We were able to redshirt some kids. I'm really excited about this group coming up. We're going to be a little bit different. We lost our running back who, you know, ran for over 1,500 yards and had 31 touchdowns. But our quarterback's coming back who threw for over 3,700 yards. And, you know, on offense, I think we were the only team in the country to have a 3,500-yard passer and 1,500-yard rusher. And we had great balance. But we're going to have to throw a little bit more this year, and I have to get back to some of my West Coast roots.
Coach, I want to go back, and there's a new rule, or at least this is the way I understand it, and I'm not a coach, so I don't read all the NCAA rules, but there's a new implemented this year where you can have a little bit of contact with some of those players during the offseason.
Right.
Is that beneficial? How beneficial is it?
Well, you know what it does? It allows us to get around them. It's a couple hours a week. You can get them in the film room, and really good for especially our quarterbacks and the guys on defense as far as taking their steps forwards as to, you know, what they need to do. But, we're not changing much from what we had done in the past. We'd already done something similar to that through what basically were teaching reels where the kids were able to go in. But now we can actually facilitate that before they go out and work on their OTAs.
Coach, recruiting, are you for this early signing period talk that's been sort of thrown out there in the college ranks?
You know, I really am. I especially at a place like us that you know, in our case, it actually narrows the pool down as to, you know, which guys we can go get. We aren't going to have a bunch of early signings by no means, but I think it takes a lot of that. Well, I'll take a reservation at a school. I don't know that you call it a commitment anymore, but it'll eliminate some of that. And, you know, in a place like us, we'll get a couple, you know, early signees, especially from kids from in-state. And we'd sure like to get that hammered down. And then, you know, the next wave, it'll really kind of, for us, set a focus on, which kids we have a chance on.
Coach, another big debate that's been throughout the offseason, and I know Coach Saban sort of got in the middle of that, and I'm not sure if it was purposely done or what exactly he was trying to accomplish. The hurry-up offense, as being an offensive-minded guy, did you have an opinion on the hurry-up style? I know they were trying to limit it, but then they backed off of it. Your perspective from the OC side.
Well, you know, I do think that there needs to be some study into it, you know, and if there is some correlation, obviously, to the injury rate and that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure there's enough out there, enough information from that standpoint. And I know offensively, in our case, we played a lot of different tempos. And some of it is, you know, what we call our NASCAR tempo, which is, you know, going awful fast. And, you know, there's ways as an offensive coach that it can help you kind of control games using different tempos. And I think it's the move. It's the way college football's going right now, and I think everything's an evolution. However, at the end of the day, you know, unless you can play with some form of ball control, you're going to have trouble going undefeated.
Coach, one of the things that I've noticed about your days here in Tuscaloosa and the way that the players reacted to you post-game on that field, because I was sort of just watched the nonverbals and watch a lot of the players, the way that they embraced you here in Tuscaloosa. You have a unique connection with your players, and it seems like that pays dividends. They play for you a little bit harder. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I tell you what, I was really fortunate. I had a great group of guys those 4 years, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, and obviously they meant a lot to not only to myself, but obviously our chances of being successful, and we all went through a lot, and I owe everything to those guys. And I think the one thing in coaching is we can never lose track of the only reason we have jobs is because of those players. I've been able to, you know, get pretty close with those guys, and yet get after them a little bit too, I just can't tell you how much that meant, you know, that moment, being able to see those guys again after a couple years, you know, on the field after that game. That really warmed my heart.
It was very special to see so many different players take their turn of embracing you and to be able to congratulate you on your success. You spotted a guy in Mobile, Alabama, at St. Paul's Episcopal School by the name of A.J. McCarron. Little did you know he would walk away being one of the decorated players in Crimson Tide history. Now he's playing in the NFL. What did you see in A.J. McCarron early on?
Well, I tell you what, I just can't tell you how proud I am of him and his growth and the way he really adapted to playing the position. And he was a guy that had a quick release and a little bit of a gambler mode and could fit balls where he needed to. The thing I loved about AJ is he's a gym rat. He loves the game of football. And you know what? That you don't find that a lot anymore. I mean, a guy that actually just loved watching film. He was a sponge on everything you were teaching him. I really expect him to go on and have a really, really good pro career.
Coach, you were also part of a team, and you can almost imagine, because you could probably go back and you remember 2008, you had a great season, had an undefeated season, you went to the SEC Championship, you lost to the Florida Gators, you lost to Utah in 2008, but then you rebounded.
Well, you really need to bring up some bad memories, don't you, here?
No, I'm really not. This is actually compliment. Because you guys went on an amazing run. It was awesome, because the dynasty in college football really started with two losses. And I know that's hard to say, but I think it's the truth.
No, I think it did. And really, it was, you could point to that SEC championship game. I really felt that, you know, it was interesting. As good as the bowl win was for us here at Colorado State this year, as far as propelling us into the offseason, with a little momentum, I think that stinging loss after having a lead in the fourth quarter in that SEC championship against Florida probably did more for our guys really getting the mental, preparation as far as the work needed to be done that offseason, that really probably pushed us to, being one heck of a football team.
Well, and it's how many times do you think Coach Saban's watched that Oklahoma and Auburn game?
I tell you, I don't know. I wasn't able to myself really be able to see either one of them, but I do know this. This is a tough game, and there's a lot of good teams out there. And, you know, on any given day, it just goes to show just how every single play, and it's something Coach preaches and talks about is, you know, each play having a history and life of its own, and really it's so important to not get really caught up in the scoreboard, but really, you know, what you're doing today to get better. And I know the resiliency of those guys, they'll come back and have a great year next year.
Coach Jim McElwain, the head football coach at Colorado State, offensive coordinator here, two national titles under his belt. You played there at Eastern Washington. Coach, could you have ever imagined back in 1980 to 1983 that you were playing this game of college football, that the growth would get to where it is current day in 2014?
Unbelievable. It's just it's been really good. But I think back about those days and now seeing how far it's come, and the interest, the fan interest, obviously the now with the social networks, people constantly following it, it's really has changed tremendously.
Coach, as someone that's been involved in the game, this college football playoff, the first year, how do you handle that as a coach? Your opinions, do you think it'll work? Do you think it's good for the game to continue to advance it forward?
Well, I think back, that year that you spoke about, where we ended those with two losses, we'd have been in that playoff and had an opportunity to, possibly go and win another one. I think the playoff is good for college football. Now I'm a little bit of a purist because you grow up with the bowl season, and I really hope that those don't lose their luster to the point where a lot of good football teams get an opportunity to get those extra practice days in, get a chance to reward their kids with a bowl game after a good season. But I could probably see where it might be heading that way, that if you're not in one of those four, those four teams, it's almost like it's a lost season.
Coach, final question before we let you get out of here, and I do appreciate your time here in Tuscaloosa. Lane Kiffin is making the arrival here in Tuscaloosa. You remember coming here as an offensive coordinator in 2008. Everybody's talking about, how much reins does Coach Saban give Lane Kiffin? How much did he give you back in 2008 when you brought your offensive package here to Tuscaloosa?
Well, I think people could tell we were a lot different, that in Coach's second year than in the first year in what we did. And, Coach by no means puts handcuffs on you or puts reins on you. What I love about what he did is it isn't just about the offense, it isn't just about the defense, and we got to understand we've got kicking game in there as well, and it's really what each side of the ball can do to complement each other. And I know that whatever pieces are in place there, that Lane will do a great job of making sure the playmakers get their ball in their hands, and whatever that is, the idea at the end of the day is to figure out how to win the game, and that's really what it's all about.
Coach, are you ready for the Buffaloes in 81 days?
Give me, if you would, just give me about a week and a half here that I'm going to take when I go to Flathead Lake in Montana and take a breath and get around my kids, and then I'll get refreshed and ready to go.
No, absolutely. I was just looking. You're one day sooner against Colorado, and I know that's an early game and it's an early rival game, but I'm sure it got your kids' attention throughout the offseason getting ready to play Colorado.
Yeah, for us, that's a fun opener. It's one of those we get to play in an NFL stadium there in Denver. We play at Mile High, and it's really great. It's really good for the state of Colorado, and you know what? I've been put here, too, to help high school football in this state, and you know, as much as we can get better, you know, that's going to help football throughout this state, and that's really what it's all about.
Coach, you've got a lot of friends in Tuscaloosa, and that's evident of my text messages that are blowing up right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Coach, you have a lot of friends here in Tuscaloosa. We certainly appreciate your time tonight. Thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes and talking about Colorado State football and your time here in Tuscaloosa.
Well, let me tell you, that was a time I'll never forget, and those are the greatest people and greatest fans around, and I really appreciate it. And you have a great day in 81 days, huh? You gave me the countdown. Now I got to go to work. How's that?